So confrontation is one of those things that we all deal with. So here, I need you to be honest for just a minute. How many of you right now in the relationships that you have that you know of, all right, you're going, I've got some beef with some people, and I just don't like them right now. Anybody honest enough to say, dude, I got some conflict between some people? Maybe it's one of those he said, she said kind of things, or maybe someone's talking behind your back, or I don't know what it is, but you just got conflict that needs to be dealt with. Conflict is one of those things that's hard to deal with. Does anybody know that saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't anybody happy? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I lived in a home that was a great home. Man, my parents were good parents, all right? But every once in a while, there would just be some conflict that would just kind of arise in the household. Does anybody have that kind of conflict at your house? Like, you wake up and everything that day is just kind of going good, and then all of a sudden it's just like something happens and there's just major issues happening in your house, all right? So I lived in a good home. My mom was a great mom, but my mom, every once in a while, that switch would just kind of flip, and there was just bad things happening. Just bad things would happen. Like, I remember this one time. My mom broke a yardstick into rulers on me. Anybody have that happen before? Like, I was playing in the house with a yardstick, and I was like, and I threw it and, like, broke the ceiling fan with it, like the little glass globe on it, just shattered it to pieces. My mom was like, you want to see how that ceiling fan felt? Come here. Start beating me with it. There's other things we won't talk about. It was bad. But I remember there was this one time that life was just going great. My dad just happened to be out of town at the time. That's when everything happened. But my dad was out of town, and my mom was one of those that's just like, we're going to take care of the family, and I'm going to wash your clothes, and I'm going to clean the house, and I'm going to cook you great meals. And like, she would slave all day making these incredible meals. And I remember there was one time that my mom slaved all day making this incredible meatloaf. How many of you like meatloaf? Man, people slap a piece of meatloaf between two pieces of bread, and they call it good. I'm just like, that's gross. And so she slaved all day, and she was making this meatloaf and working hard at it. And I'm just like, just go buy it. And she's like, no, I'm going to make it from scratch. And so she worked all day, and it came dinner time, and it was like time to sit down and eat and be this nice, happy family. Do you realize that that's what Christ has called us to be? That Christ has called us to be this nice, happy family, that we're to dwell together in unity. And Psalm 133:1 says this, how good and pleasing it is when my brothers dwell together in unity. And sisters, you can be thrown into that too, because we are a family because we have this common bond of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, listen, because you know me, I'm your daddy. And if you got other brothers and sisters that know me, then I'm their daddy. So that makes us all this big family. But here's the problem. We in this world, in this family of God, we do not live in unity. We don't. Like, for some reason, the church is like the number one place that conflict takes place. It's like there's people that walk into church that have never been here before, and they're just like going, man, I thought you guys were supposed to like be happy and peaceful and love one another. And like, we're tearing at each other and beating each other up verbally and mentally and emotionally. And they're just going, what's the deal here? There's conflict. There's problems. And so our family was sitting there at the bar, and my mom was like, I'm going to serve you some meatloaf. And my brother and I are just going, this is not going to be good because we don't like meatloaf. And so my mom like cuts out this big, huge piece of meatloaf and puts it on my plate, and this big, huge piece of meatloaf and puts it on my brother's plate. And I'm like going, this would be a great time to have a dog. Throw it on the floor, let Fido eat it. We didn't have one. We had cats. Ugh. They don't help you out at the dinner table like a dog does. So here I am staring at this nice piece of meatloaf, and I'm looking over at my brother, and I'm like going, what do we do? We can't eat this. This is horrible. And about that time, I think Jesus knocked on the door. My mom's like, I'll get it. And so she runs off to the door to see who's at the door, and I'm like going, oh, perfect timing. It's like, Corey, what do we do? He's like, dude, I have no idea. He goes, wait a minute, I got an idea. So he takes my plate and his plate, and he comes back over there to the meatloaf bowl, and he takes my piece, and he puts it back in there, and he takes his piece and puts it back in there, and so now just my mom's piece is missing, and we're like going, yeah, we got this down. She will never know. And I look at it, and I'm like going, dude, it looks like there's two pieces that are still there. All right, this is bad news. He goes, all right, I got it. So he took a knife, and he took a fork, and he kind of goes, and just mutilated the top of this meatloaf, and he's like, perfect. Now she'll never know. And so we sit back, and I'm like sitting there with my plate. All my vegetables are still there, my meatloaf missing, and my brother's sitting over there, and my mom comes walking in, and she's like, oh, and I'm like, oh, this meatloaf was so good, we just had to eat it all real fast. She's like, okay. She turns around, and she sees the meatloaf sitting there, and she's like, she looks over at me and my brother like, we were stupid. She looks back over here at the meatloaf, and she just kind of sits it over in front of us and goes, all right, and just starts throwing meatloaf across the kitchen. My mom is just digging her fingers into this meatloaf, and she is just throwing it everywhere. I'm covered in meatloaf. My brother's covered in meatloaf. The kitchen's covered in meatloaf, and she's just like, go to your room. So now for the next 4 days, everybody's like walking around on eggshells because mama ain't happy and ain't nobody happy. So we're like going, don't do anything to tick mom off. Don't do anything to tick mom off. Conflict. This nice, happy family that we were supposed to be in is now disrupted by conflict. There is stuff that is happening that is breaking the relationship of this family. And here's the truth. That same kind of stuff is breaking the relationship of you guys called the church. Like, you're supposed to be in love, and you're supposed to have this relationship with these people over here, and you're supposed to have this relationship with these people over here, but yet we have this so dividedness that we're like going, you know what, I don't really get along with those people, and we've just got conflict. And the problem is conflict these days doesn't get handled. Like, we just stay mad at each other. And so now the church is messed up, and it's divided, and it's Here's the truth. Unresolved conflict tears apart unity and keeps us from living in the fullness of the body of Christ. So conflict is here. You've got conflict in your life. And listen, if it goes unresolved, then you are not going to be able to live in the fullness of what you need to live in Christ. Now let's define conflict for just a minute. Conflict, I think, can be two different things. The first conflict is this right here. I don't like you. You don't like me. We're just enemies. That's conflict that needs to be dealt with. The other conflict is this right here. As members of the body of Christ, we are called to live a certain way. Here's the deal. Some of us get this mindset that we can do whatever we want to do, and we live life the way we want to live. And so you, as the body of Christ, kind of go off on your own, doing the sin that you want to do, living how you want to live. And so we, as the body, are responsible to go to you and say, that's not right. You don't need to be acting like that. You don't need to be out sleeping with everybody. You don't need to be out getting drunk. You don't need to be doing drugs. Whatever sin you want to pick in Scripture, if you're doing it, then we as a body are called to go to you in love and say, listen, that's not right. But that's conflict. And we don't want to deal with conflict. But here's the truth, and listen. If we're going to walk this thing called the Christian life, if we're going to walk this thing called being the church and a body that is supposed to be unified in Christ, then we're going to have to deal with stuff. We're going to have to deal with people. It's just part of it. But there's two kinds of you people out there right now, all right? There's the first kind of person dealing with conflict that you're just the spineless, you have no guts, and you're just like, oh, confrontation. I don't want to deal with you. And so you just kind of throw up the rug, and you're just like, let's kick it under here, and just, we'll forget about it, no big deal. I don't know if you've ever taken a pair of dirty socks and thought throwing it under the bed would make your room smell better. So you're just like, out of mind, out of sight, no more smell. And like 2 weeks later, you're like going, oh my gosh, what died in my room? You pull the socks back out, and they're like stiff, and you're like going, hey. Just throw them away. Don't wash them. Don't give them to your mom to wash, all right? Throwing it under the bed, sweeping it under the rug is not going to cause conflict to go away. In fact, this is what's going to happen. It's just going to escalate that conflict, and it's going to be bigger, and it's going to be worse. So the first kind of you that are out there, and sometimes I fall into that category, are the ones that just kind of sweep it away. But then there's another kind of you, and you're the ones that are just like going, conflict, bring it on, baby. Like that whole verse is iron sharpens iron. You're taking that real serious. You're like going, it's iron sharpens iron. I'm gonna take care of you. That sin that's in your life, it's your fault. It's your. And we're just this clanging noise, and there's no grace, and there's no mercy, and there's no love. It's just, I'm gonna set you straight. So here's the question. There's got to be this balance of not having this a spine and just dismissing everything and being this overly zealous, I want conflict kind of person. There's got to be some kind of balance. And I think that is the way Christ is calling us to deal with conflict in our lives. And so tonight, this is simply what we're going to do. We're going to take a look at conflict, how you talk with someone that you've got a problem with or that you need to confront about a situation, but we're going to break it down into three different pieces. You've got this pregame piece, that you got this the beginning, that before you even confront someone, what do you need to do? Then you've got this the act of confronting, but then there's the thing that you need to do at the very end. And so I just want to break that down for you tonight. And this is one of those things that if you hold on to and you use this, it's going to make some of your lives a lot easier in dealing with people. So we're just going to start with the pregame. The first thing that if we are going to deal with people, if we're going to confront people and have conflict with people that's right, the first thing we're going to have to do is we're going to have to pray. So what does prayer do? Prayer takes this time of confrontation, this time where you're looking at a situation and going, this is not a good situation. I'm fixing to have to talk with someone about this situation. What it does is it pulls God into the center of it. So now you're looking at someone and you're going, I really don't like you. I really don't. In fact, I hate you, but I'm fixing to tell you everything that you've done wrong. And so what happens when we come into a situation where we're already just bitter and angry and we're just mad at that person and we're thinking that we're going to fix this problem? That puts us at the center. So now we're coming at it and we're the center of this confrontation. And here's the deal, your flesh is going to get in the way. But when God is the center of you confronting someone, then it is going to change how you confront. It's going to change how you deal with someone else's sin. It's going to change how you deal with the he said, she said, I don't like you, you don't like me. It's going to help you with that because what it does is this right here. You say, God, I don't know how to deal with this, but you do. So God, you come show me how to do this. God, I don't know what to say. Would you come teach me what to say? Would you show me how I'm supposed to do this? And so we pray. Some of you are going, okay, Dustin, you can start right there because I've never prayed before I've confronted someone. I'm just like, confrontation, let's go, baby. But if you would stop and pray, can I tell you something? It's impossible to genuinely pray for someone and then hate them. It's impossible. Because God is love and his love flows through you and his love is going to just ooze out of you onto other people. And it's just impossible for you to go, I hate you, but God, I love you. So we got to pray. Number two, we need to examine our own hearts. Here's the reality, guys. Confrontation begins with you, the person who's going to be confronting. So if you got a situation that you need to confront, confrontation begins with you. So if you're not ready, if you're not at a place where you can confront someone, then this confrontation is going to go downhill fast. It's this whole idea of before you deal with someone else's sin, before you deal with someone else's business, the question is this right here. Is there business in your life you need to deal with? When you walk up to someone and go, hey, listen, dude, you don't need to be doing this anymore. Can they look back at you and go, oh yeah, you're one to talk. What about that in your life? What about that in your life? You're doing the same thing I'm doing. You walk up to someone and say, dude, you really probably shouldn't be cussing as much as you're cussing right now or really cussing at all. And they look back at you and go, but didn't I just hear you the other night, like dropping all kinds of bombs? We got to deal with the junk in our own lives. I mean, listen to what Scripture says. Matthew 7 verses 1 through 5, it says, judge not that you not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you will use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in another person's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. You've got to deal with you first. Because if you come in with junk and baggage, then I'm just going to go and tell you right now, it is going to be ammo for the other person to use against you, and confrontation is not going to be fixed. The conflict is not going to be fixed. In fact, there's going to be more, because there's more to bring to the table. So you got to deal with your junk. You got to make sure that you're at a place to do that. The other thing is this right here. You need to note your calling and purpose of confronting. What is the purpose of confrontation? Have you ever thought about that? Like when you talk with someone about junk that's in their life, or when you talk with someone about a situation that's between you two, have you ever thought about what's the purpose of you even talking with them? It's simple. To build them up. To build them up. The confrontation is not like that in most cases. Most times it's like, listen, I'm going to tell you how bad you are. I'm going to tell you how stupid you are. I'm going to tell you how much I hate you. I'm going to tell you how bad of a person you are. And it's just, we tear people down and we rip them down to the ground. And Jesus is going, listen, the call for you is to build people up. Bob Roberts does this for me well. Bob Roberts is our pastor. Here's something that he does. When I came in at the age of like 22, I was just a punk kid, all right? Like, I thought I knew youth ministry. I thought I had it all figured out. And I was like going, I'm going to come to Northwood and I'm just going to show them what it's about, all right? And so then Bob starts seeing this and he starts going. And so I'd get this phone call every once in a while. Hey, can you come to my office real quick? And I'd walk into his office and he'd say, hey, Dustin, listen, I love you. And I really want you to be better. But you are the worst youth minister I've ever seen in my life. You're stupid. You're dumb. Why did you think that would work? No. He'd look at me and say, hey, I want you to be better. Like right now, you're an okay youth minister, but I want you to be the best youth minister that Northwood will ever have. And this is what you're going to have to do to get there. It's to build me up. It's to help me grow. Like the purpose of conflict in your life is for you not to prove that you're right and they're wrong. So people like fall in life. Your purpose is not to throw them back into place. Your purpose is to say, hey, listen, this is where you belong. So why don't you get back up here? Listen to this verse, Galatians 6:1. It says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, anyone is caught in any kind of sin, mess up, conflict, okay? If anybody has done something wrong, this is important. You who are, what does that word say? Oh, come on. What does that say? You who are spiritual. Now, let me explain to you what spiritual means here. Spiritual just doesn't mean that you know a bunch of memory verses. Spiritual doesn't mean that you just come to church all the time. Spiritual means that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You genuinely love God and you're a disciple. So those who are followers of Jesus, let's continue on. You who are followers of Jesus should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. So those of you who call yourself followers, when there is conflict, you've got one motive. You've got one purpose in conflict. You've got one purpose in confrontation, and that is restoring someone to this place where they can experience the fullness of Jesus Christ. It's not to point out that they're wrong. It's for them to see that there's redemption. You realize that's what Jesus did for you? In confrontation with you, like when he took your sin and died for it, he confronted that. He could have looked at you and just said, you're worthless. You're going to hell. Just go. Get out of my face. But he said, I love you, and I want you to live this incredible life. Let me restore you to this place of living in me. And just imagine if that was your mindset coming into a relationship. Man, we got some stuff going on between me and you. I'm not just going to condemn you, but I'm actually going to restore you. I'm going to help you get back on this track of living for Christ. So restoration. The next thing is this right here. You got to check your attitude. A lot of times we come into confrontation hurt and injured and emotionally battered. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. If you go confront someone in anger, or if you go even confront someone in just an emotional rage of whatever emotion you want to pick, it's not going to work out. You got to come in neutral. You got to check your feelings at the door. Does that make sense? Like, you can't come in just going, I hate your guts and I'm going to fix you. There's problems and we need to deal with it. You got to come in this neutral, not lashing out. So what does that mean? It means that you're going to have to walk as Christ wants you to walk. That means you're going to have to come into a relationship like Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, in the fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Imagine if before you confronted someone, you just kind of mellowed out and said, you know what, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to have peace. I'm going to show love. Self-control. You think it would change the outcome? Yeah, a lot. But we come in hurt and anger and raging. The next two are just kind of real practical things. The first one is this. Before you even confront, you need to plan out what you're going to say. That sounds dumb. I remember I had to break up with this girl, and it was a bad breakup. And I had legitimate reasons to break up, okay? And my mom looked at me and said, listen, this is going to be hard. This is what you need to do. You need to know what you're going to say. She actually told me, write her a letter and take that letter and read it. Some of you are going, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. How many of you have ever gotten to a confrontation and you said, man, I need to talk to him about this. I need to tell him this. I need to tell him this. I need to make sure they need to understand this and this. And then you get there and you're staring at them and you're going, can we still be friends? That's like the only thing that comes out of your mouth. Because you forgot everything. Write it down. Write it down. Number two practical thing is this right here. This is big, and maybe for the girls than anything. Don't make unrealistic expectations of what the end of this confrontation is going to look like. Like, don't think at the end that you guys are going to be like frolicking across the prairie, holding hands, going, "Oh, this is so good." When at the end you don't know what's going to happen. So don't set these expectations that are so huge that at the end you're going, "Well, I guess that didn't work out." Just stop for a minute. If you would just focus on that right there, before you even confronted someone, if you just said, you know what, I'm going to be in check. I'm going to make sure that I am in touch and in tune with God so that he can move. Guys, if you would just stop there, I wouldn't have to finish the sermon. I wouldn't have to tell you the rest of this, because the rest of it would probably just work out, because you would be walking in tune with God and he would help you with that. Because we forget that part. But let's get into this, the act of confronting. When you need to confront someone, we're just going to kind of fly through these. These are quick and easy. Number one is this right here. Pray before you confront. It sounds like rocket science. I mean, scripture says pray at all times, in all situations. But listen, can you imagine if you, before walking into a situation, you actually prayed, hey, God, would you help me with this? It'd be huge. Number two, practical, set a time and place for this to happen. So set a time and a specific place that you guys can go meet. Let me tell you something. Listen carefully. Text messaging is not the way to confront someone. Do you hear me? Let me tell you what I think about you. I don't even like you. You were talking about me behind my back. You're stupid. You're dumb. We're not friends anymore. Send. What do you think that other person's going to do? Whatever. Or she's going to send something back going, well, I think you're stupid too. You're a dumb person. Choice word, choice word, choice word. Text messaging is not going to work. Let me tell you something else. You posting this up on Facebook's wall? You who laugh are the ones who are guilty. that's just ammo to hurt someone. You don't even have the guts to make it like a message that you're sending to them. You're just like, let the world see that you're a bad person. The phone, unless you're like states apart, it needs to be face to face. How many of you have ever had someone, and I need you to be honest, I want to put yourself on the other end of being confronted. How many of you have had someone confront you with text message, with the phone, and you're just like going, really? Are you too cowardly to come talk to me? How many of you have been there? I just want to see hands. Okay, good. So I'm not stupid. Face to face is the only way if you genuinely want something to work out. Now I'm going to tell you something. This next one I'm going to tell you, and I need you to listen carefully because this next one is where we screw up all the time. The next thing that we need to do is this right here. You need to define the problem that is being confronted. Well, I thought you said that was hard. I'm not telling you that you need to go confront the motive of the person. Like we walk over to someone and we're like going, I can't believe you did that. Man, you know what you did to me? That hurt. You did that because you don't like me. You did that because you thought this. You did that because... And you're attacking the motive of that person. You will never know the motive of that person. You will never really know why they did what they did. And for you to assume anything is just going to make everything worse. So what do? You define the specific situation, the issue. So how do you do that? You do that when you call in the SBI, okay? Not FBI, SBI. And this is actually a confrontation model that they use in the corporate world. The first thing is this right here. This is quick. You come in and you define the situation. So you're needing to confront someone. And so you're walking up and you're saying, hey, the other day, I walked up to you at the lunch table and you were talking with a bunch of other people and you were talking about me like bad. Like, what was the deal with that? So what happens is they know, okay, they know the situation you're talking about. They know that it was the other day and it was at the lunchroom, so they're going, oh yeah, I kind of remember that. And then you go after the specific behavior. You were bad-mouthing me. You were talking trash about me. Like you said this specifically. And so what that keeps them from doing is going, no, I didn't, because you got specific things. If you just kind of talk out here and just go, well, you're just a horrible, well, how am I a horrible person? But when you talk specifically and go, I am confronting this thing that you did. Sometimes at that situation, you need to go, hey, did you really do that? Did you really say that? Or did you really do that? Or did you, and then you give them an opportunity to talk because then they can go, no, I didn't do that. I didn't. And then you can go, okay, I'm glad that you didn't. But if they did, then the next thing you do is that you talk about the impact that it made on your life. Like, you can't argue with that. Like, if you look at someone and say, listen, when you talked about me the other day, it made me feel like crap. It made me feel like you just didn't have any care for me at all. They can't look at you and go, you didn't feel like crap. They don't know how you feel. But if all we do is go after the motive of why they did it, then you're not dealing with the situation. You're just kind of dealing with this in the air thing that's just kind of an opinion. You can't battle opinion. You can only battle the facts. And so you see someone who's doing something as a believer they shouldn't be doing, you go to them and you say, hey, listen, the other day at that party, so they know what you're talking about, I saw you drinking. I saw you treating girls a way you shouldn't be treating girls. Can I tell you something? That impacted a lot of people around you because people know that you go to Northwood and people know that you're a different person or that you say you're a different person. And now there's a lot of people that are going, that's what a Christian does? That's how a Christian lives and acts. It's specific. So you deal specifically with the issue. But that's hard to do. And so now you've got this pregame before conflict. You've got this confrontation. Let me tell you something. There's two things that we've got to do in the very end. Once confrontation is kind of moved past the conflict part of it, the next thing is this right here. You need to continue praying. You need to continue praying for that person. And number two, you need to do your part. And I don't know what that is specifically. If you did something to wrong the other person and that person did something to wrong you, then you need to make sure that you do your part not to do it again. If you're confronting someone who's dealing with sin and you want them to walk in freedom and you want them to walk the way Christ has called them to walk, then your part may be accountability. It may be you going to that person and saying, hey, let me help you with this. Let me help you walk in this. And you need to do your part in the accountability. You need to walk with them and show them how to do it, encouraging them. Because the truth is this right here. We're called to be a family. That's what I want us to go back to. We're called to be a family. The body of Christ. And there's gonna be problems arise. And we have to do our part. We have to maybe be that person to confront someone. But we got to do it in love, and we got to do it the way Christ has called us to do it. I want you to bow your heads with me. The band's going to come forward, and we're going to take some time to really just kind of ask the Lord, what does this look like? How many of you right now would be honest enough to say, Dustin, There is confrontation, there's conflict, whether you know that you need to talk with someone specifically about an issue in their life, or you've got conflict between you and someone else that is just unresolved. How many of you right now would say, Dustin, there's conflict that I need to deal with, that I haven't dealt with, that I just kind of swept it under the rug? If that's you, just raise your hand. I want to see where you are. Put your hands down. Until you deal with that conflict, until you deal with that issue, you're always just going to have more confrontation with that specific situation. And so tonight, you've got a choice. Tonight, you've got a choice of how are you going to, are you going to handle it? Are you going to do what Christ has called you to do and keep the body unified? Or are you just going to continue to walk around on eggshells? Tonight, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you just to spend some time asking God, what do I do? How do I handle this? Maybe this is the first part of the confrontation. The pre part of it. You asking God, how do I do this? How do I do this? Maybe there's someone here tonight that you need to do this with. Maybe there's someone in this very room that you need to walk up to in just a little bit and say, dude, hey, can we talk? But just make sure you're ready. Make sure your heart's ready. Before you step out. The band is just going to sing a song over us. If you know it, sing along. If you want to sing it, sing along. But use this time just to say, God, would you show me what to do? Help me to bring unity to the body of Christ by dealing with confrontation the way you need me to. This is your time. You pray. Worship.